If you have your copy of God's Word, if you please turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, be taking our text from Matthew chapter 7. And we'll look at verses 24 through 27 tonight. Matthew 7 and verse 24 begin with. And when you get there, if you're able to stand, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 24. And here the Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word tonight. Lord, we just need your help here for a few minutes to be able to expound on this text, and that you'll be the one that's exalted in this message. Lord, keep me out of the way and let you be seen. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I've titled the message tonight something, I guess some people might laugh about it, but I've called it, "I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up." I don't know if you remember those commercials back in, I believe it was back in the 80s, and I believe I actually saw some not too long ago from a company called LifeCall. And it's a device that people would wear that if they fell down, they could call and get help if they weren't able to get up. And if you may remember the famous line, the lady's laying on the floor and she hits her life alert button and says, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." And I remember people passing that phrase around for a long time. It became very popular. But I'm not preaching about LifeCall tonight or their commercials, but the thought behind it about falling and not able to get back up. Here the Lord Jesus has been spending a lot of time giving his famous Sermon on the Mount. We've preached a whole series on that before, where he's up there on the side of that mountain and he's preaching to all those people. Now, there's a lot of people there that day. There was many of the religious crowd that was listening. His early disciples were there. We know Andrew, Peter, James, and John were all in attendance. Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, many people that was in attendance there, but a lot of just people. He is gaining large crowds at this time in his ministry. And so there's no telling exactly how many people were there, but he had spent a lot of time talking to them about what it would be like in the kingdom of heaven, mainly, about what the Jews were always looking for, the kingdom of heaven, when the Messiah would come and set up his earthly kingdom and rule and reign here on the throne of David. And they were excited about that time, wanting to know what it would be like. Well, he goes into all these explanations of how people would live when they entered into that kingdom. And a lot of people, you know, spend a lot of time in that section. But what as he ends it, as he winds it down, he gives this last one little parable here about these two men that are building houses. Now, one thing that you realize when you're studying about Jesus and how he taught and preached, he never held anything back. And if it made people angry, then just so be it. He only told the truth. He never told a lie. He never tried to smooth things out and make it sound more pleasant than it really was. He just point blank told the truth all the time. And it really did not settle well with some people, especially the religious crowd. The Pharisees in particular, they hated Jesus and they were always looking for something to hold against him so they could have him arrested, beaten, and eventually, we know, crucified. But he always told the truth, and the truth was very painful for a lot of people. Now, a lot of times we don't like to hear the truth. If there's something bad about to happen, we'd rather people just not tell us or make it sound a little easier than it was. But Jesus, it didn't matter if you were the high priest, if you were one of the chief elders, if you were the ruler of the synagogue, or even the lowest person there in town, Jesus would just tell everyone the same thing, and it was the truth. Well, sometimes that truth was hard. And so, as it was on this day on the mountain, as Jesus was warning folks about many different things, especially about being too comfortable in your religious activities. You see, that was one of the problems with the Pharisees. They become very comfortable with their religious routines. And they, since they claimed to be the seed of Abraham, they assured themselves, they thought, had assurance that they were going into the kingdom. And Jesus was telling them many things that kind of contradicted everything that they thought. And they did not like that. And so he touched off on many things. He warned about wolves and sheep's clothing that would come and deceive. He warned about those that gave false professions of faith. And that one day when they stood before the Lord, he would tell them to depart. You that work iniquity, I never knew you. And so there was many things. And one of the things that he dwelled upon was the fact of a life that produced no fruit. And that was one of the things that Jesus always reminded them of. If there's no fruit there, no visible fruit, then there's no root to your what you have, your salvation, your faith, what you claim to have in God. If there's no fruit there, bearing that, then you can tell them, he says, by their fruits. And so he wraps all this up into this parable of these two builders. Now, one thing you need to know, that both of these men are both building a home for the same purpose of living there, of dwelling in this home. So it has to be something that's going to be permanent, something that will last, something that will endure if a storm hit. Well, there in verse 24 of our text, Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So first, you have to bear in mind that these things that Jesus has said throughout all that Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, if you will do these things that you've heard, then you'll be like this wise man. So in other words, you must do what you hear. And that's always the teaching of the Bible. We don't just read it and go in one ear and out the other and not do it. The whole purpose is to do what God says. There's sometimes when I've preached a message, and I'll be maybe standing at the door and shaking hands as people go out. And some people will say something like, you know, that was a wonderful message. That was a great message. And while I'm always thankful if you enjoyed the message, my inner thoughts anytime I hear that is, what are you going to do with what you heard? Is it going to make a difference in your life? Is it going to impact you in some way? Has it made you had a come to a realization that you need to do something to move on it? Because that's the whole purpose of preaching. It's not just to hear a story. It's to hear it and then be a doer. Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. The Bible teaches us that. James 1 and 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You don't want to deceive your own self. I mean, it's bad enough to deceive other people, but when you deceive your own self, then you're in real trouble. Well, I'm not much of a carpenter. Although I have really gained a lot of skills lately working down there in the prophet's chamber. And no, I'm not for hire. I'm not putting anybody's floor in, if that's what you want to know. We did a good job on it, but I don't want to do it for a living. I'm not a wonderful carpenter. Now, some men are. Brother Chester, Brother Kurt, they made their living being carpenters. But there is one thing that I have learned over the years. If you're going to build a firm structure, the very most important thing is that you get the foundation right. If the foundation is not right, then your structure is not going to stand the way it needs to stand. And so if you're going to build a home, then you need to start digging down for that foundation. You got to dig down below the frost line, above the water line. You got to get it right in the right place where that ground's going to compact. You got to put down your gravels and your cement and your blocks and all this and have it right. Because if it's not right, it is going to fall. We own property over on Bud Hawkins Road. And if you go out behind our garage, you'll find that the garage has shifted about 6 inches off the foundation. And from what I've heard, the man who built the thing was a drunk when he built it, and he didn't know what he was doing, and he built it and then took off. Well, that building one day is going to fall. There's no doubt about it. The blocks have already separated like that. If you go back there, I'm just expecting any day for somebody, the neighbors, to call and say, hey, your garage is on the ground. But you must have the foundation built solid. It must be on a firm foundation, or it will shift, it will move, and things will separate, and finally it will fall. Well, notice two things that Jesus said in our opening text, whosoever heareth and doeth. So I want us to be very careful not to understand, we not only have to listen to what God has said, but we need to do what the Lord says. We can listen to scripture and preaching and take advice all day long, but if we don't move on it, then it don't do us any good. Look at verse 25 back in Matthew 7. Jesus goes on to say this, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Well, one thing to be aware of, even though this man was a wise man, and he did everything that he was supposed to do, and his house was firm, it did not budge when the storms came because he'd done it right, He still had to endure a storm. Did you notice that? He still had to weather a storm. You see, just because you're saved don't mean you're not going to go through some kind of storm in your life. I guarantee you tonight, even those that may be young, Elizabeth, you're 19 today. She turned 19 today. I allowed her to do that. She's turned 19. But even though she's young, you're going to face a storm one of these days in your life. And there's nothing you can do about it. We're all going to face them. I face many in my short 53 years of living here, and I know many of you in your life, you've faced many storms. I've had to stand over a lot of you in hospital rooms, and I've had to stand at gravesides and hear about these storms that's hit people, and there's one thing, we're going to go through it. But God loves us, and we belong to the Lord Jesus. If you've been saved, you belong to Him. But you're still going to have to battle a storm every now and then. In fact, the Bible tells us we should expect these storms. Over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, the Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Now, I know that we're not going through the trials and tribulations that the Hebrews went through, or the Jews in Peter's day. That's who he was trying to help. They were going through a lot of persecution by the Romans, by fellow Jews that were resisting Christianity. And so he was having to help them along. And he says, listen, don't be surprised about this. I mean, it's not, what was he saying? Don't think it strange. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Not that may try you, but it is to try you. So it's just guaranteed we're going to go through it. Over in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, Paul writes this to Timothy. He said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I mentioned this morning how here in our country that we live in, we've got it pretty good. We're not being persecuted for our faith. You may think you are at times. I mean, you say something religious out in the public arena and people make fun of you. That's nothing compared to what some people are going through today that claim faith in Christ. You go over to China and try that. Go over to Russia and try that. Do you know it's illegal now to share the gospel in Russia? Go over to Kazakhstan where we have missionaries stationed. Do you think he can go out on the public street and preach Christ? No, he cannot. They have to meet underground. And so we don't know what it's like to actually be persecuted for having faith in Jesus Christ. And so the next time you try to tell somebody about Jesus and they laugh at you or make fun of you, just count that all as joy. You know, that's nothing. That's nothing. There may be a day in this country where we will actually have to face persecution for our faith. Look at verse 26. "And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand." Now, again, like I told you, I'm not a carpenter, but I do know you don't want to build a house on sand. I remember the first time that I ever went to the beach. I was 32 years old before I ever saw the ocean. And I know a lot of people think, well, good night. I can't believe that. Yeah, I was 32, already married and had kids before we ever went to the beach. Never seen it before. And I remember getting out, and yes, I'm an East Tennessee hillbilly. I get out of the car, and I pull my britches leg up, and I go running out there on the shore of the ocean. And I'm standing there, and I think, well, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And the more I stood there, the deeper I started getting. Before I knew it, I was up to my waist in sand. You don't build a house on that, all right? Because if you do, you're gonna sink. And so the Lord is telling us that this foolish man, he's building his house upon a foundation such as what you would expect would happen at the beach if you stood on the side of the ocean. And listen, that won't support anything. But nevertheless, the foolish man decides to go ahead and build on the sand. And I'm sure it was much easier. He didn't have to spend all the time that the wise man had to spend on getting everything ready and digging it down and pouring putting the gravels down and everything that needed to be done. He didn't have to spend all that time. So he took a little shortcut. You know, taking shortcuts sometimes is okay, but when it's something very important, make sure you do it the right way. Don't cut corners. Don't try to do shortcuts, especially when it comes to the things of God. Don't cut God short. Do it the right way. And so this man decides to build on top of the sand. And, you know, every time I read that, I think about the three little pigs and blowing their house down. But verse 27 of our text, it goes on to say, "And the rain descended, And the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Well, it should be no surprise when this storm hits. Now remember, the other man, the wise man, he built his house up on a solid foundation. He went through the same storm that this man's going through, but his house stood. Well, this man's house did not stand. The foolish man here, it was unable to stand because he had no foundation under it. It was just shifting sand. And so, you know, I want to say this to you tonight. Jesus is trying to warn us here. First of all, this rock that he's talking about is actually, he's describing himself. You see, all these things that Jesus has been leading up to this point, all those sayings he's had on the Sermon on the Mount, all the lessons, all the teaching, all the insight he's gave them about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, he's referring to himself. You see, he's presenting himself as their Messiah and wanting them to know that he is the solid rock. So everything that they base their faith upon needs to be based upon Christ himself. Friends, that's what our faith today is based upon. If your faith is based upon anything else in this world besides Jesus Christ, then you are building on shifting sand. You are not on the solid rock, and it's not going to do you any good. And I want you to know that when you stand before God, if you've built on something besides faith in Christ, then your foundation is going to crumble and you're going to fall, and great will be the fall of you. You must build upon the solid rock, the solid foundation. Jesus Christ, when Jesus was standing there with Peter, and he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." He wasn't talking about Peter. He wasn't talking about the start of the Roman Catholic Church. He was talking about himself. Peter, I am the rock. And if you're going to build, you're going to build on me. And that's what Jesus is trying to say here. This foolish man did not do that. He built it on the things of the world. He built it on his own ideas. He built it on something that would be easy. And people want things easy today. They don't want anything that's going to be any difficult. Listen, living for Jesus is not difficult, all right? It's one of the greatest things ever. And listen, if you, there's some people that they hear something being said that sounds so good. And listen, usually when it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. But I want you to know tonight that Jesus is the only foundation you can build upon. I heard somebody on television, somebody very popular, has millions of people that follow them, that said there was many ways to heaven. I want you to know that's wrong tonight. There is only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. He is the door. He's the truth, the way, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father except through him. And so if you're trying to get there some other way, whether it's hugging a tree or protecting the environment or whatever it else is they're doing today, you're not going to get to heaven that way, because your faith is not built on Christ. It must be built on Jesus Christ if you ever expect to stand before God and be in heaven one day. People are being misled all over the place today. And so there's people today that they may be insincere about their beliefs. They may be sincere about thinking, well, if I protect the environment, or I plant a tree, or if I do this, or if I follow this man or that, read this book and follow the outline in that book, then I'll be fine. They may be sincere about that, but they're sincerely wrong. And one day they'll realize that when they stand before the Lord and the Lord says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." You see, you didn't come through Jesus. You didn't come through the solid foundation. You did not build your house upon the rock. You built it on something else. Listen, there's many people today that will be that way. We're all going to face storms in life. And like I said, you're just going to have to face it. You're going to face a storm. And, you know, I don't care if you're the best living Christian in this world. I don't care if you've always done everything perfect and to the T. There's going to be a time in your life you're going to have to face this. And believe me, all you need to do is to rely upon the Lord. And all men throughout the Bible, you look at all the great men and women of the Bible and start looking at their lives, and you see each and every one of them had to face trials and tribulations. I mean, the list goes on. Abraham, Moses, Noah, David, Peter, Paul, John the Baptist, all these people faced storms in their lives, but they based their faith upon God and upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. You see, the difference between us and the world is that we know the truth. If people do not know Christ, they don't know the truth. They cannot discern the things of God. They have no discernment. But because if you've been saved tonight, you have the Holy Spirit that indwells within you, that gives you that discernment. You have that available to you. Reading through God's Word and reading what He has to say and understanding that. Everybody can't do that. He illuminates the Scripture for us. But the difference is, we have built our foundations. We're rooted and built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Now, and when the storms do hit, when life rages, when they come and you go to the doctor because of that place that come up on you, and then the doctor says, well, it's cancer. Or if you go and you've got some kind of problem internally, and he says, well, you're stage four. I mean, this is happening to people every day. I've got a friend right now facing that storm, going through stage four cancer. You know, and the doctors all say, well, that's it. You know, we'll just give you something to make you feel better, and you just spend the rest of your life, you know, until you go from here. We'll try to relieve your pain. And that's the kind of storms that we face. But friends, what would you do if you didn't have the Lord Jesus when you're facing these storms? What would you do? Well, you do like a lot of the world does. They get angry. They get bitter. They start resorting to other means and methods trying to alleviate their pain and their problem. Friends, it's through Jesus that we can get this alleviated. And look, and I know a lot of people, they live horrible, wicked, sinful lives. And you know, sometimes it seems like they don't have any troubles or trials in life, you know. You think to yourself, well, here, I've tried to live a good life, and look at all these things that happened to me. Look at that guy over there. I know how he lives and what he does, and it seems like he's just happy-go-lucky and scot-free. Nothing ever happens to him. I want you to know that those people that live that way, if they never trust Jesus, this is the only time they will ever have any kind of comfort, because when they leave this walk of life without trusting Christ, they will spend eternity in hell, suffering. And so don't ever think anybody's got something better than you just because it appears that way. Listen, we rely upon Jesus. He's our help in times of need. I know a man, he's got a young son. His young son is on drugs. This young man, he steals from the family. He takes things to the pawn shop. He sells it just so he can go out and get another hit, get another drug, get another needle, another shot, whatever, another smoke, another crack, whatever he's on. He just goes and does whatever he can. And this father loves his son. He does. He loves him. And he wonders, what in the world went wrong? Whatever happened? This man has never lived his life for Christ. He's always lived out of the religious section. He's never come to church. He doesn't do anything, but yet he sits around wondering what in the world has went wrong in the life of me and my son. And he's lived a life of drugs and drinking and all carousing and sex and filth and revolved around all this wickedness, and yet he wonders what's going on. Friends, listen, there's no life outside of Christ that's worth anything. Jesus has the power to save. He has the power to change lives. Over in Matthew 11 and 28, the Bible says, come unto me. This is Jesus. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, friends, I've had grown men come to me. Desperate situations, they'll come and say, Brother Byron, my marriage is falling apart. My wife's going to leave me. She's going to take the kids. And I mean, they just come and they cry and go on about it, want advice. Help me, help me. I've fallen and I can't get up. And friends, I just got to sit there and pray with them and tell them, listen, you need to turn your life over to Christ. You need to rely upon Jesus to help you through this. Listen, you may still have to go through that problem. That his wife may still leave him. I don't know. But I do know you need Jesus above all things. And as long as you have Christ, just like that song we sung during our fellowship, Christ is all we need. He's all we need. Now, the scary part of all this passage of Scripture here is both these men feel like what they're doing is the right thing. They both made the decision to build the way they built. One of them is doing what's right in God's eyes, but the other one's doing what's right in his own eyes. God would never have directed him to build the way that he's built. Both men are given the same opportunities. They're both given the same storm. However, both men have very different outcomes. Let me ask you tonight, have you really placed your hope and trust and faith in the Lord Jesus? Is he your solid foundation tonight, or is it based on something else? Is it based off something that you thought might have happened back when you were a kid, but you don't really know? Maybe you went to a Bible school, or you went to some kind of youth thing, and a lot of people came down, and you felt like probably you needed to get saved, or you wanted to go down with everybody else, and you claimed to be one of those. You held your hand up and said, I want to be saved, but yet you never were convicted of your sins. You never understood the true gospel message. You didn't really understand you were receiving Christ. Is that you tonight? Friends, we need to understand that it's only through Jesus that we can be saved. It's not through raising your hand. It's not through repeating a prayer. It's not through going through some kind of motion. It's only through receiving Christ. It's by realizing you're a lost sinner. You know that Jesus died for you on that cross. You believe in the message of the gospel. And you cry out for Christ to save you. And you believe in Him. The Bible says, believe on the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Friends, I believe that all part of that is your confession that I'm a sinner. God, I'm a sinner and I don't want to be. I want you to save me. I want to live for Christ. And you give your heart to Jesus, and friends, He'll save you. Have you fallen and can't get up? There'll be some people that will leave this walk of life fallen, and there'll be no way out for them. It's a question we must all ask ourselves, because one day we will be standing before a righteous judge. We'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. All will have to answer before Him. What will He say to you? Will He say, enter in, thy good and faithful servant, I'll give you rest? Or will He look at you and say, I don't even know who you are. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Listen, I know this has been a kind of a short message, but I want you to turn over to page 390 in your church hymnal. Charlotte, you can just stay there. June, just stay there. We'll just sing it. I want to sing this song with you, page 390. And if you need help tonight for any reason, would you come down at the bottom of the page? My hope is built.